I take these chances on people that I feel like I have a connection with. And because it's more like, again, it's a bond, because it's hard to find that bond and set those expectations from someone you don't have an emotional connection to.
You are listening to Gillian Aradaza, who has scaled not only her business and has learned the power of leverage, but has also co-founded a real estate brokerage, Kinetic Real Estate. In this episode, we break down what you have to learn when growing a business, who you have to become, and understanding how to put people in the right seat of the business so that your business continues to thrive. This episode is for those who want to build and scale their business, manage life and business, and understand what truly moves the needle in your business. And she talks about one secret that has helped her grow her business fast. So the question is, how do entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts scale to create a massive business all while having fun and impacting lives? Welcome to The Raquel Show. I'm your host, Raquel Quinette, business coach, real estate entrepreneur, investor, wife, and sports mom. This podcast will give you real quick tips, strategies, tools, and inspire you to help you play bigger in business and in life. Are you ready? Let's grow to the next level. Welcome to The Raquel Show. This show is for entrepreneurs who want to play bigger in business and in life. And today, I have a very special guest, one that I've been able to see grow from a solopreneur to leading a team of agents. She's grown leaps and bounds as a leader and is the co-founder of Kinetic Real Estate. Welcome to the show, Gillian Aradaza.
Thank you so much for having me, Raquel. Thank you.
I am so excited for our audience to get to know this rock star that you are listening to and that you, if you are on YouTube, that you are seeing. So let's just start from the beginning. Quick snapshot. How did you happen to pick real estate and what led you to where you're at today?
You know, I started at a bank. A lot of the sales agents here started at some sales job. So working at the bank, I saw this woman come into the bank weekly, deposit her checks. And I was just so curious about what she did. She would deposit $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 checks. And I thought to myself, I must be in the wrong business. So it only takes exposure. And so I got pregnant. I was maybe 8 months pregnant. I said, okay, if I need to take my real estate test, if I don't do it now, it's now or never. I had my daughter about, she was 2 months, and I studied for the test, passed the first time, and just from there, started as a showing agent and never looked back.
I love that. And I know that there's probably a lot in that story. And like I said earlier in your introduction, very few people really want to build a team, let alone a brokerage. And you definitely have done both in such a short period of time. I know earlier we were talking before we hit record that you've only been in real estate since when?
2017.
Yeah. And you've built a team and now a co-founder of a company, a real estate company that's growing as well, and one of the top brokerages for side. Is why did you decide to build a team or co-found a brokerage, or how did that happen, or did it happen by accident?
I think it found me. I only searched, you know, for mentors, I think, when I got to real estate. And that's how I met Kevin, founder of Kinetic Real Estate. And just, we just worked really well together. Also, Tian, our director of ops. So I owe it to the people that took a chance on me as well. Going into real estate, I had little knowledge. I only knew sales and just starting to build slowly our own little mini team. It just sort of transformed. And by doing a lot of sales, just, you know, as a small team, we attracted more people and we just more opportunities opened up for us. So I didn't choose it. But I'm definitely happy the way it turned out, because now we have a core leadership team and just collaboration. And that's something that we always talk about, collaboration, just leaning on each other, leveraging the people that are good at things, and you focus on the things that you're good at, has just really created something special. And we always talk about culture. So it's not a one-man team. It definitely has been transformed because of all the people that have poured into the business.
Yeah. And you guys opened Kinetic, because you guys weren't always with Kinetic. So you're obviously the co-founder. You opened Kinetic when?
3 years ago. We just celebrated our 3-year anniversary.
And how big is the brokerage today?
We have about 57 agents. This year, we were lucky enough to open our second location where Michael Lim in Sacramento is managing the team out there. So again, a lot of collaboration.
Yeah. And along with that, see, very few people will build a team, let alone build a team and a brokerage and expand into a new market. And you have been able to do that in just short of like 3 years. And then you have your own team, right? Right now. Is that correct?
Yes. Shout out to G-Unit is what we call each other. But I love them dearly. We're just fun. We're still here to work. So it just feels like definitely a family-oriented brokerage overall.
Yeah. So what has been the most challenging part about building a team or a brokerage, in your opinion?
So building a team and helping build a brokerage is two totally different dynamics. One case scenario, you're building more as far as an organization, but as a team alone, I have about 5-6 agents, and it's more of, okay, focusing on the sales, but you're pulled in so many directions. You're wearing a lot of different hats, but also, you know, you want to focus on your own sales because you have to drive the team, the brokerage, the numbers, the sales. And I think that's what I'm best at doing, also delegating too. So that's been super helpful for me. But as far as the organization, Kinetic itself as a brokerage, the most challenging thing that I found was finding the right people for the right roles, and also changing roles. It's changing still today. With my mini team, it's also, okay, from an organization point of view, I have a better, I guess, bird's eye view to say, okay, I think you're best at this. You focus on this. And then I have two admins that I outsource, which are like, you know, my right hand people, that they help us so much so that my agents can just focus on selling. So different challenges, different roles.
I love that. And that's probably one of the things that most entrepreneurs, whether you're in real estate or even leading any type of business, the hardest thing to find is the right seats on the bus. Mm-hmm. It's always changing, especially as markets start to change. What have you had to learn as a leader or as an owner of a team?
I think as a leader, just me being me, I didn't foresee myself having my own team. I remember talking to Kevin before. I said, I don't want my own team. I'm just here to sell. And so at some point, you know, I attracted more agents. I attracted more people that wanted to work with me directly, and seeing the potential in those agents, like how the people around me or my coaches, like you, Kevin, just everyone around me took a chance on me. I said, okay, I can't deny talent. So it was more of a mental block for me because, one, I like my own space, and, you know, kind of giving up a lot of my space and a lot of my mental space, personal space, time. I have a 5-year-old, but I'm happy I took the chance because now I could see the power of leverage. And from delegating to leverage, I saw like, wow, you could really scale the business this way, but also just protecting your time still by the delegations, by the roles. So it all is like, just, I'm still learning.
Yeah. And so as you go through that journey, what advice would you give to somebody who's maybe listening right now, thinking about starting a team? Maybe they're running out of hours to service all the clients or all the leads that are coming into their business.
Well, I think first and foremost, you have to have someone well enough to know the business to help coach you, because I would not ever known how to do any of this without the coaches that I hired. And you, Raquel, has been like the most influential woman and person, I feel like, in the business to me, because all the systems I've learned, all the conversations that, you know, I just had to follow and repeat and just take action on, just learning from other agents alongside with me too. Just, you don't have to learn everything yourself. Mm-hmm.
There's definitely shortcuts and obviously people with experience, and you've done a really good job at investing in yourself, investing in your business. And it's actually showing now, because you've reached another layer, which many people don't always reach, is investing in people, mm-hmm. right? And they always say that the best investment is when you can get talented people and invest in them, because they can take your business to places that you didn't even think was possible. And one thing that I've been able to witness front row is your agents are now starting to produce, but you've been very picky about the people you've brought into your world. And you just talked about it like not too long ago about like these boundaries. How do you find talented people, or do you have like a standards, or have you set a culture within your team for them to actually want to be hungry and go out and produce?
So the agents that I work with directly, the 5-6 agents on G-Unit, I say 5-6 because one is part-time, but she's killing it, Lauren Bell. I've known them, or I know them through someone, or I know them through school. Montasia and Tajay, I've known them through since I was middle school. So high school and middle school. So I've known them for a long time. Aaron, I met him through, you know, another friend of mine who they're close friends. So I take these chances on people that I feel like I have a connection with. And because it's more like, again, it's a bond. Because it's hard to find that bond and set those expectations from someone you don't have an emotional connection to. Mm-hmm. Now the standard is show up, you know, just be hungry. I've had to just play bigger, play harder on myself. And by leading a team, it's okay to set those expectations on the people you're working around, because it is still at the end of the day a business.
Yeah. And I have seen you kind of go through this journey, especially in this last year, of you really being on the forefront of sales. And for whatever reason, from our last Play Bigger event, all of a sudden I see things on stories of you being very early in the office. So I have to ask, like, what do you think has been the keys to your success, especially in a short period of time? Like what you've been able to accomplish, people don't do this till like year 10 in the business.
You know, after that Play Bigger event, and it's as cliche as it may sound, women empowerment events, and that's what I've always been about since I don't know when. It was just like a shift, and it was already there. It was just more of a reminder, okay, like if you're not going to do it now, you're wasting time. It's about to be December. I'm thinking about all this stuff you're saying. You have to front load this. Nothing counts in November. So I just had to really just shift myself, shift my habits, you know, less time and just lollygagging, just do it.
Yeah. And as you look back, what has been the most important lesson in your journey that probably impacted you the most?
Not only time block, but take, you know, that your appointment serious and know how to categorize what's the main money-making activities and what's the like just conversational stuff. So what I think about front loading is, okay, what are the conversations that I have to have on a daily basis? Like the offers, the disclosures, who is going to be the next escrow? Who's going to be the next family we help? And that's been big for me, because you learn to prioritize really who's going to be the next person in escrow. And mm-hmm. it's kind of simple, but we get distracted a lot in the business where, oh, we got to go to this event, or, hey, you want to get lunch? Like you just have to have a laser focused brain in mind if you really want to finish the year strong.
That's so true. And I think not only for real estate, but most entrepreneurs, it's once you get into entrepreneurship, it's no longer a clock in from 9 to 5, right? Like you really got to think about like what truly is important, because things can be distracting and everything could be looked at as they all equal the same when really they don't. And what I'm most impressed by with you is you're a business founder, you're somebody who runs a team, your wife, you're a mom, and you said you get pulled in so many different directions. How do you manage it all?
I have no idea. I think just having a calendar, I'll kid you not, this year, which I learned from Juan, be be a master of your calendar. So since I started doing that, I started noticing where I spend most of my time, but really just an outlet that I use is working out, you know, doing all the stuff that I like to do still. I get your hair done, get your nails done, do whatever you, what makes you feel good. Get massages, you know, take mini trips, take day trips to Arizona, do stuff that you like to do and just be around people that really make you feel good, comfortable, safe. But also, you know, we built a family around Kinetic and we're all here to play bigger too. So, and it makes it more fun.
What drives you?
I think now I didn't realize this before, but freedom of time. You know, before you asked me 5 years ago, yeah, I want the money. Give me the money. But now it's okay. My daughter's growing. She's first kindergarten, but just time and just having a balanced life. Nothing crazy.
I love the freedom and I love the time. And I love how you are to your beautiful daughter, Gigi. Like she's the cutest thing on earth. If there was like one advice as she listens to this, who knows when, right? Even like years from now, what would you want to say to her that you wish you got earlier as far as advice?
Yeah, I think what I grew up with, just having my own mentality, just not taking no for an answer and just being yourself. You know, you're not going to please everyone. So I learned that throughout growing up through the years. And just even in this industry, again, it's a very male dominated industry, which being in these women empowerment circles is really like there's a lot of big women players out there. So I just love being around that because it helps me strive for more. And she's a really strong personality, too. So it's
They say it doesn't fall very far from the tree, right? And, you know, and I think it's just a great example because I always say that even though you think your kids are not watching you, they are, right? And so when you don't go and pursue your goals, guess what's going to happen? They're not going to also pursue your goals. I think the actions that we take, whether we tell them or not, they're watching. And if you had to start over today, knowing what you know today, what would you do if you had to start all over and start your business over? What are some of the things that you would do today?
Definitely hire the right people, having the admins, the ops, understanding business in terms of sales side, operation side, and, you know, managing your money properly. Because once you start cashing in checks and deals, you know, that can all get confusing and also you won't be able to scale or leverage what you already have. So invest in yourself too. Just continue to invest in yourself. Maybe invest more into yourself.
What do you do for fun?
I don't know. I always get to ask that question, but just, I think I'm always having fun. Like work is fun to me. It's some days are it's more tiring, but work is definitely fun. I like the process. I love talking to the people. I love laughing at Instagram memes. Like that's my fun. I do have a good balance in terms of like still upkeeping myself. So that's my outlet. But fun, I'm trying to figure out like more outdoor stuff. So
what's next for Gillian?
Well, today specifically, I'm super excited because today I do launch my course, October 17th. Today, you're actually on the website. I wanted to surprise you. It's at the bottom of the website, but it's just a crash course for agents who need help getting to their first escrow, just learning the ins and outs. It's called Sales Agent Secrets and really just telling you the secrets that you should know in order to get to your first escrow, or even if you're struggling with just hovering over your 5-10 escrows.
I love that you heard it first. And what a great way to let the audience know that the girl, the woman that is a top producer that also owns a brokerage, that's built a team, that's a mama, now has a course and some secrets so that you can collapse time and learn from the absolute best. So could you share with us one of the secrets as a teaser?
Social media. So definitely social media and branding, something we talked about in Arizona.
Yes, 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 yes. And where, if people wanted to connect with you, where can people find you, connect with you, learn about this course?
SalesAgentSecrets.com. You can sign up for it. Also, I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, wherever social media is, I try to be on.
I love it. What's the best advice, best book that you've read that you can share with our audience?
First couple of books that changed my life, a lot of podcasts, but Richest Man in Babylon and also Rich Dad, Poor Dad, of course.
Of course. Like that's everyone's like book and staple. And you talked about it earlier when it comes to understanding your money and understanding like, and I can tell just from the books that you've read, if people were to look at investing, where should they invest today? Or what advice would you give?
I am a true believer in practicing what you preach. So when I my first goal when getting into real estate was buy your own property. So the first year or so, we bought our first condo. Now we have two properties out of state and we'd love to buy more. So whether you're in stocks, real estate, whatever, just invest your money because that's compound interest. Definitely. You'll see a return when you're, I don't know, 30 years.
Love it. And it's definitely doing a lot better, whatever the market does, it's doing a lot better than it sitting in a bank today, especially mm-hmm. with inflation. Yes. Right. And as we wrap up, what is one thing that Gillian does to play bigger in business and in life?
I show up. Whether I don't feel like it, and this is again something I learned from you, just show up. You know, you're not always going to feel 100%, but people will notice when you're showing up, when you're answering the phone, when you're texting back, when you say you're going to be at an event, don't commit to something that you're not fully committed to. So I've had to learn that too.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Gillian, for being on the show. Thank you for inspiring me to play bigger. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, and I cannot wait to keep playing bigger with you, my friend.
You too. Thank you, Raquel.
Thank you for listening to this episode and hanging out with me today. If you're loving the Raquel Show and you've gotten value from it for your business or your life, please don't forget to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. I'd love to connect with you further, so text me at www.textraquel.com and send me a message. You'll be added to our VIP list for updates and special events we're hosting for our community. I look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode.